Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 161 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And this one's a great one. It is with Bill Dumas from Creekside Cookers in Wimberley, Texas. I thought this was just going to be an interview with Bill, and it basically is an interview with him at the beginning and the end, but the middle part, he's at Creekside Cookers. Kelly Evers, the owner, jumps in, so it's the two of them talking about the brick-and-mortar location, and it was a day before the grand opening. They had done a number of soft openings just to test things out, and Kelly gets into that and explains why he does it. It's really smart. It's a great primer for people that are opening brick-and-mortars. This is really interesting because they're going to be running as a regular barbecue trailer in the afternoon, the morning to afternoon, and then they switch to a prime steakhouse and have a barbecue option. So you can still get barbecue in the evenings, but it's a prime steakhouse. It's so they switched the operation completely, and they talk about how the POS system had to be tweaked because it's a different business model than most places. So we talk all about that. We get a lot into Bill's upbringing and how he got into barbecue and why he got into barbecue and working at Smoky Denmark, working at Style Switch and The Switch. It's incredibly interesting. And what I found by talking to Bill, and what I've found by interacting with him over the last year or so, email and direct message, is you gain knowledge by talking to Bill. He's a smart guy. He knows a lot. And he's got an interesting way that he looks at things. And when he talks about things, it's almost like you're hearing it like a novel. Or it's, I don't know, you'll listen to it, you'll hear it. It's interesting. I can't thank Bill enough for taking the time, and Kelly for jumping in and telling all about things at Creekside Cookers. It's going to be a great location, a place that you're going to want to stop at for sure. And the hours, in case you need to know, are Wednesday through Saturday from 11 to either 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. I think Friday, Saturday, it's 10 o'clock. And then they're also open for brunch on Sundays, so that way. But check, I'll put links to everything. Check their social media. And if you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out. I'm putting out one or two of these per week, trying to give you guys as many interviews as possible. I have a lot lined up. I have a lot to edit, so check in, subscribe, that way you don't miss out. I'm available on all social media at Kevin's BBQ Joints. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with links to all these podcasts, all the YouTube stuff, as well as original content, lists of pop-ups in Texas and LA, and that's going to grow. So check that out at kevinsbbqjoints.com. But again, I can't thank you guys enough for listening, for enjoying these. Let me know what you think. Thanks so much. Have a great week. Well, good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. We finally got this together. I'm excited to hear more about you. I've a lot of people I mentioned I should speak with you, and I've been trying to get a hold of you for a long time.
Yeah, it's just a lot going on, a lot of moving parts and pieces and in the professional life right now, yeah. Which is fine. I kind of like it that way.
It seems like you like to be busy. And do you have any jet lag at all from being in Australia?
Oh, jet lag was terrible. Whenever I got over there, it was about 2.5 days of just sheer jet lag. And the guys told me to stay up because when you go to Australia, you lose a day.
Okay.
It's like in the flipping twilight zone, you lose a day. And so I landed, it was like 9 o'clock in the morning. And I was just, the flight from Los Angeles to Melbourne was 14 hours. Then I had 4 hours from Melbourne to Perth.
Oh, man.
All said and done, it was 26 hours of airport and travel time.
Oh, my gosh.
Got there to just stay up, tough it out, and drink like a fish. I did that, and I was still jet lagged for about 2.5 days, trying to get adjusted and acclimatized. But it all worked out.
Yeah. Well, did you have to cook that first day?
No, I didn't. I spent the first couple of days trying to source ingredients, things as innocuous and that we take for granted over here, such as dried pinto beans,
uh-huh,
or the 5-gallon bucket containers of dill pickle chips. They don't have it in Australia.
Oh, interesting.
It's not part of their culture. So as a result of which, I really had to spend quite a bit of time chasing Lance Rosen of Temples of Barbecue. He's the gentleman that wrote that book I told you about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's also a very good restaurateur and competition cook in Australia, Lance Rosen. I have to give him props because he really went out of his way to help me procure a lot of the ingredients for my sides and other things that I needed.
That was in Perth. What was that? Was it a competition or was it a demonstration?
No. What it is there's a organization over there in Perth that's ran by Jason Linto. Ian McGirvin, and some other folks out there in Perth. It's called Brew and Q Australia.
Okay.
Brew and Q it's ran by Jason Linto and Ian McGirvin and some other folks in Perth, Australia. They've already hosted quite a few other events with Big Mo Kayson, Harry Sue, Tuffy Stone, those type of guys.
Yeah.
And they would do like cooking demonstrations, dinners, things of that nature. But this past October 5th and 6th, they had a big event at the Ascot Racecourse. And it was a competition with about 30 teams, a big brew beer festival, a lot of cooking demonstrations, vendors, and then VIP dinners. I was flown out there to do the VIP dinner for about 80 people that from all over, from Australia, both eastern and western sides, as well as Tasmania and beyond. It was quite an honor to get flown down there and do this thing.
That's so really cool.
Represented Texas barbecue in Perth.
Oh, that's what a great experience. Had you ever been to Australia before?
Never. I've never been overseas before. Never.
Oh, what a great chance then.
Yeah, go big or go home.
And you said you felt, did you feel jet lag when you came back?
Not as bad. Okay. I was, but not to that extent. But I did sleep for about 14 hours straight.
Well, there you go.
So pardon all the background noise. There's a bunch of people in here.
That's okay.
You know, doing things.
No, it shows that you're in a real life situation. You're somewhere real. Well, did you grow up in Texas?
Yes, I grew up in North Texas in a little itty bitty, tiny town called Whitesboro, Texas, which is like in between Sherman and Gainesville.
Okay.
Darn near to the Oklahoma border.
Was your family cooking barbecue? Were you guys going to little barbecue spots? Or?
Correct. My grandfather kind of had a side business. He was a salesman his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the apparel business. Huh. As a young man, he also worked at Edelbrock Saddlery back in the 1930s in the Fort Worth Stockyards, but he also pushed mules at the horse and mule barns at the stockyards before he went into the apparel business.
Oh, wow.
When he retired from the apparel business, he started a side business cooking chickens and making gallons and gallons and gallons of his famous barbecue sauce.
Really?
And as a kid, I would shadow him, and he would put me to work because children were free labor. According to him. So,
of course.
So that was imprinted upon me. But beyond that, Granddad knew everybody in Dallas at the time. So I remember distinctly going to Sonny Bryan's when Sonny was still living and Mr. Riddle was the pit boss. And I remember going in there and there would be Sonny with his white paper hat on, his white t-shirt, and his white apron. And he'd be looking down like this, chopping meat. And never once looked up, but he knew instinctively that my granddad was there. And it's like, howdy, Kurt. How you doing, granddad? Howdy, Sonny. How are you doing? So that was imprinted upon me. But then also another gentleman that was also in the apparel business and also had a showroom at the Apparel Mart was a guy by the name of Mr. Warren Clark. And Mr. Clark, when he retired out of the apparel business, opened up a tiny barbecue spot in Tioga, Texas, called Clark's Outpost.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of that.
Uh-huh, and it was quickly discovered by Chef Dean Fearing of Mansion on Turtle Creek.
Okay,
and
wow.
And it just exploded in popularity. But I remember that going in there as a kid as well with Granddad and my uncle and my dad, and talking to Warren Clark. And so all of that kind of stuff imprinted itself upon me. It's in my blood.
Did you end up going to culinary school, or did you end up going to work at a kitchen? Or
mm-mm. No, I did a lot of things. I was a terrible juvenile delinquent. So I ended up having to go into the Marine Corps.
Okay.
When I spent about 4 years out of the Marine Corps, I've done everything.
Well, thank you for your service, first off. Thank you so much for your service.
Well, thank you. But I've been an over-the-road truck driver, a refrigeration technician, and the list goes on.
Were you a long-haul truck driver?
Correct.
How was that?
It was interesting, and that was the days before computers. I remember my first load. I remember my first load was 40,000 pounds of peanut butter, and I picked it up outside of Macon, Georgia, and I drug it over to the Hunts Point, the Bronx. And granted, you had to use maps and a CV. There was no GPS back in those days.
Was the Thomas Guide back then? Like, remember the Thomas Guide that people... I don't even know if you used that. That was like a map that I would use.
Oh yeah. Well, I used there was a Trucker's Atlas and Maps Co. But yeah, you know, but I've done a lot. I wore a lot of different hats in my life. But upon the death of my son in 2012...
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I kind of immersed myself into something I loved, which was barbecue. And... it's been a hell of a ride since then. I started doing some things with Stephen Michael Dean, who was one of the administrators of the Texas Dance Hall Preservation Society,
okay,
which was instrumental in the preservation of the old SPJST halls throughout Central Texas. I became the official caterer for Twin Sisters Dance Hall, and I did a lot of catering. I had a pit made by David Close in 2012. Oh. I did that, and then shortly thereafter, I was hired on by Smoky Denmark in East Austin, and I ran their barbecue food truck for a couple of years before Shane Stiles of Style Switch scooped me up in October of 2015.
Can we jump really back quickly to Smoky Denmark? Can you explain what that is? Because a lot of people don't necessarily know what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Smoky Denmark is a smoked... Well, what they are essentially is a sausage maker, and they've been in business since 1964, making all manner of sausage. And Mr. Denmark, I don't really know what his first name was, but everyone knew him as Smoky Denmark, okay, right? But here's an interesting fact. Guess who Sonny Moberg's grandfather is?
Who
was? Smoky Denmark.
I didn't know that. Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, so Sonny's grandfather is Smoky Denmark.
I bet no one knows that.
Now you do.
That's great. So then what were you doing for them? Doing sausage or smoking their sausage?
Well, I started out, you know, on the receiving dock, and they had opened up a barbecue truck with a pit at the front of the business facing East 5th Street. Mm-hmm. Well, the guy that was running it didn't quite work out, so they shoehorned me in. And bang, off we're running.
Well, that's perfect. I'm glad they did.
I'm glad they did, too, because it was the start of my professional career, as it were. And I kind of was able to get some really interesting and neat things done. I quickly hired on Keenan Goldis, formerly of Goldis Sausage Company, and we did some really weird artisanal sausages like apple pie sausage.
Wow.
A blueberry sausage that looked like you killed a Smurf and made it out of it. I should have named that one the Gargamel.
Yeah, exactly.
But we did all that, and consequently, I guess where that food truck is now.
Where is that?
Evan Leroy has it.
Oh, really? Oh, so that is Evan's. Okay, interesting.
that's my old food truck. So,
wow, so it's all interwoven. This whole world is all interwoven.
Indeed.
So then Shane Stiles got you to work at the Switch or at...
In October 2015, he hired me on. They were replacing... actually, one guy was quitting. His name was Bob Costarella. Nice guy. He was moving back to California, so they hired me on. And I came on board on October of 2015 with along with Lance Kirkpatrick, Andy Stapp, who now works at Liberty Barbecue with John Brotherton, and Alan Michael Jackson, who now works at Brotherton's Black Iron Barbecue. So, yeah, how about that? So we all formed a team, and bing, bang, boom, we're off and running.
Wow. How was that experience? And what were you, was there something, were you guys all doing everything, or was it something where you had a specialty?
Well, at the time, it took a little bit for me to get climatized, because we're talking about volume here, running two services at that restaurant. And, you know, anywhere, you know, depending upon catering, you could be looking at 80, 90, 100 briskets across those pits. And we were running close pits at the time, which were of different configurations. So it was quite a dance to get everything coordinated and consistent. But it took a few months for me to get climatized. But after that, we did everything. Whatever needed to be done, we had to do it. Prep, the cooking, everything, top to bottom. Come on over here.
What's up?
You got to get in here. Come on over here.
So hello. Hey.
Yeah, come on. So who I've got here, I thought you weren't here. So this is Kelly Evers, all right? He's going to jump in here and get next to my noggin.
Okay.
So, look, there's Kelly Evers.
How's it going?
So how you doing?
Kelly is actually the gentleman that started this business, and this is Creekside Barbecue's founder, owner, and operator. There you go.
How you doing?
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
So how are things going over there?
They're going fantastic. You know, we've been drinking water from a fire hose for the past 6 months. So now that we're almost there, it's kind of nice, you know. It's going very well. It's going very well. And having Bill on board has been a huge help for me. to kind of help me alleviate some of the you know, heavy lifting. So it's been good for
and
sure.
How long have you been open officially?
Well, I started the food trailer 5 years ago.
Okay.
And I started my catering business in 2010. I was a school teacher for 20 years. And so I was doing that on the side, plus doing competing and doing all that kind of stuff. So officially, as an actual barbecue joint, since 2015.
And where exactly are you guys located?
We're in Wimberley, Texas. Currently, our brick and mortar is at 500 River Road in Wimberley.
Yeah.
Before, we were a food trailer here in Wimberley as well. We're in the process right now of moving from, we're in the process of kind of switching concepts at the trailer to more of a grab-and-go barbecue-style breakfast place. And so that's coming on the horizon in the next month or so, but we're trying to get this open as quickly as possible first. And then we can go ahead and make that transition over.
So is the brick and mortar, it looked like from Bill, from the video I saw, it looks like the brick and mortar is open, or is it not open?
We did our soft openings last week.
Oh, that's what it was.
And then we kind of just, what I decided to do, I think a lot of times these restaurants make a really big mistake by allowing, doing one night a soft opening or one day a soft opening and then opening the very next day. So what we did is we spent an entire week doing soft openings, and so we could kind of stress the kitchen as much as possible, make sure that the wait staff were doing what they should be doing, and kind of working on our systems and processes to make sure that it's when we open day one, it's perfect. So with that being said, we open tomorrow at 11 a.m. full bore, doors open, ready to go, lunch and dinner from here on out.
And it'll be Wednesday through Sunday or Wednesday through Saturday?
It'll be Wednesday through Saturday from 11 until 9 o'clock. And then on Friday and Saturday, we're going to be open till 10.
Wow.
And then on Sunday, we're going to be open just for brunch from 10 to 3. So, and eventually we'll probably add Tuesdays down the road. But at this point, I've been very diligent about making sure that we don't put the cart before the horse opening this and really taking our time and making sure things are done right. From everything from the meats all the way up to the way dishes are washed. So it'll be a very successful endeavor just based simply on that.
Is it meat market style? Do you have a cutter? Is it?
No, we're not doing meat market style at lunch. It's very similar to a food trailer style walk-up counter service.
Okay.
And then we're very unique in that I've always wanted to do a hybrid style restaurant where you have the walk-up counter during the day, and then in the evenings you have full service prime steakhouse with the barbecue addition to it.
Oh, interesting.
And so that's kind of been a challenge from the standpoint of our POS system, of ordering, logistical. Until we can kind of get that worked out, that's kind of been our biggest thing. But the concept itself is very unique in that, for instance, our POS system had never done a concept like this. And so as a result, they've kind of had to reinvent the wheel and work in some new programs and some new fixes to their system to accommodate our needs. So it's kind of a unique...
That's interesting. I've never thought of it that way. That is interesting that you would have to have... it would have to... Because it's not the same menu duplicate.
No, it's a completely different menu. And so we're running a very similar trailer menu, very traditional barbecue style at lunch. And then at night, we literally completely shift gears to a prime steakhouse. And so with the barbecue as a component to it versus being all barbecue all the time. In Wimberley, we don't have a steakhouse. It's and in the area, there's not a good steakhouse for miles. So we're kind of capturing that market as much as possible.
No, that's important. And I feel like there's not really a great steakhouse where I live. I'm in Los Angeles, but I think that every town, every city needs a good steakhouse, and that's an important component. Will you be able to get brisket at dinner time?
Yes, we are. Yeah, okay. We're going to have our full service menu. Well, we're going to have an abbreviated. We have family style barbecue at night and by the pound as well. We're really, one of the things that we're doing here is we're really focusing on the meats. We're really focusing on the steak quality. We're doing a lot with Nyman Ranch. We're doing a lot with just certified Angus steak products. And so I really believe that if you buy premium meats and you buy the best you can, you're going to get a much better product.
Oh, for sure.
And some of the techniques that we're using as far as cooking the steaks are concerned, with the reverse sear techniques and some other things that we're doing, make us very unique to the steak market in Central Texas. So with all that being said, I mean, it's definitely been a, it has been a big learning curve, but I think we're right about there.
How do you like having Bill on board?
Oh, it's wonderful. You know, it's nice. Being in the business myself for as long as I have and running the whole show from prep to selling to catering to everything for so many years, having another guy who understands the life of somebody at the pits is a really good component. Bill and I work fantastic together. We are able to really get, I don't want to say we finish each other's thoughts on some things, but when it does come to barbecue, we do. And so we're on the same page on a lot of things. And I think with his experience and his expertise and what I brought to the table, just what I've developed over the years, it's a great recipe for success.
So will there be a time where we'll be open from 11 till 2 or 3 and then switch over or close? Or
yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what we're going to do, what happens, it goes 11 to 4. And then we close for an hour. We're still doing to-goes, but then we shut down for an hour. And then from 5 until we close is the steakhouse. We have a very extensive wine list, extensive beer list. And so in order to make that move from the traditional barbecue joint, we had to work in that time component to where we could make the transition. Because you got to figure, we literally have to completely switch the concept of the restaurant in an hour. So, and what's crazy about it, when we first started running it during our soft opening weeks, we were like, you know, there were some hiccups, but what I found is it really streamlines the process and it forces, I've been to a lot of restaurants where you go in for lunch or whatever, and at dinner time, you go in for dinner and there's still remnants of lunch everywhere, so to speak, you know, there's things out and about. Here it's literally a completely different, it's a different restaurant.
That's so crazy. That's so interesting. I've never heard of that. This is very unique.
And it really is, because you literally go from a counter service food trailer style ordering system to super high end. I mean, we have a $124 steak on the menu all the way down to a $19 T-bone. So it's a very, very unique concept for sure.
So for people that don't know where Wembley is, where would it say, a lot of people listen to this fly into Austin.
Right. Wembley, we're approximately 30 miles southwest of Austin and about 40 miles dead north of San Antonio.
Okay, so you're more south. Okay.
Yeah, we're in the hill country. We're on the west side of 35. And so we're kind of out in the Texas Hill Country, literally smack dab in the middle of it.
Right on the Blanco River, really.
Yeah, the restaurant, so it's, we gorgeous actually out have there. A big piece of riverfront associated with the restaurant. So the Blanco River runs, it's there. 200 feet from the restaurant.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, that's great. What a great place to be, too.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Do you want to go over really quick what your menu is, too?
Yeah, actually, we can. So the menu board is actually right behind me. Okay, so the menu for lunchtime basically is your traditional barbecue menu. Excuse me. So we have the brisket, the pork ribs, the turkey, the pulled pork, and our artisanally made sausage. So all of the sausage is made in-house by Ainsley Taylor. Okay. Consequently, she was the sausage maker I had over at the Switch. now she's over here. Right now we're making a 100% beef sausage that utilizes some of the trim from the briskets. And then we have a jalapeno cheddar sausage that actually uses pepper jack and has the cheese component. And then smoked jalapenos and smoked garlic and some other niceties in the sausage.
Sounds great.
Yeah, we also have on the lunch menu, there's brisket and pulled pork tacos, your traditional sandwiches such as pulled pork and brisket and or sausage. There's all kinds of good stuff on that menu.
And I'm sure you'll have specials too.
Yeah, we roll out all kinds of specials daily. So that's kind of special centric to kind of pick the interest of the folks in the community and make things a little bit more interesting. And you know how the restaurant business is. If you source something that's a little unique, then you can source it and run it. Something to kind of keep your own self interested as well. Now, the dinner menu, that's a little different. We have a 28-day dry-aged tomahawk ribeye, which is about 32 to 36 ounces per, a 16-ounce. Now, these are all certified Angus, USDA Prime. Also have a 16-ounce ribeye, a 14-ounce strip loin, a 6-ounce fillet, a 4-ounce fillet that goes on the salads, a double-cut pork chop from Nyman Ranch.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and let's see. Then we have a really nice 14-ounce T-bone. I'm going to start trying to source a 16-ounce T-bone instead due to the thickness. But in a nutshell, those are the steaks. And, of course, loaded baked potatoes, an array of sides, and the list goes on. But, of course, a full barbecue menu as well during the dinner time.
How are you planning the barbecue menu for dinner? Are you going to back off a bit?
Yes, that is correct. One thing we noticed during soft opening was that, and it may be just because it's a new concept, but the community really took off on the steaks, and the barbecue kind of took a back seat, at least during soft opening. And I think that's going to continue through grand opening, just due to the fact that it's a new concept. Mm-hmm. So to your point, yes, we'll kind of have to take a look at our pars and maybe back off somewhat. Dinner time is going to be more steak-centric as opposed to being your traditional 1-2-3 meat plates that you would normally get with barbecue during lunch. So as opposed to that, the barbecue at dinner time will be more or less by the pound family style.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, gotcha.
So that'll kind of push some of the steaks a little bit more. And we may push or pull that depending upon how, you know, the customers react to that. We'll see. But for now, we're looking at by the pound family style in respect to the barbecue during dinner service.
So is the barbecue during lunch service more plate?
Yes, we have it by the pound, and we also have a 1-2-3 meat plates.
Gotcha.
As well as the traditional sandwiches.
Well, it's nice to have a barbecue option for the evening because a lot of places don't have that. A lot of people don't have anywhere to go at nighttime.
Yeah, and you're absolutely correct. Let's see, who's our competitors in the area? We have Hays County Barbecue over in San Marcos. Great people, Micah Hernandez and Jesse Miranda, Omar Baca and the crew. Wonderful, wonderful people. And then let's see, Scott Roberts has a crow flies only about 15 miles away from us at the Salt Lick. Both of those establishments run dual service. Mm-hmm. So, but in Dripping, not so much. Wimberley, unless you want to go to Dairy Queen. But that's about it.
I think it sounds like a better option than Dairy Queen. Not that Dairy Queen's bad, but it's just a different, better option.
Oh, no, I'll go for a steak finger basket.
So would I, definitely. Well, can we talk a little bit more about your experience at the Switch? I just want to know more about how many pits do they have there, and how many pits do you have at your place
right now? Okay, so at the Switch, we were running four 1,000-gallon pits made by Sonny Moberg, as well as one custom-made designed sausage smoker that was indirect yet bottom-fed, straight to flue, that was constructed by Sonny but designed by pitmaster Chris McGee.
Okay, I remember hearing that someone had designed it, one of the pitmasters, yeah.
Yep. Now, over here at Creekside Cookers, we have two 1,000-gallon pits made by Sonny Moberg, and then we have an indirect bottom-fed straight-to-flue pit that I don't know where Kelly got it, but it's a little guy. But we have that rascal, too. I also have a small close pit that's about a 100-gallon size, and then Kelly also has another pit that's almost a close design pit as well. So we have a wide variety of equipment. So
yeah, you seem like you have a lot of capacity.
We do, and we're kind of... Due to the fact that I have so much experience, you know, running dual services both at Style Switch and The Switch, I kind of bring that to the table on how to get things timed out correctly in which to run that in respect to brisket cook and so on.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a great experience.
It darn sure is. I can answer a lot of those questions.
Yeah, because that is definitely a challenge to make sure that you, because... At that transition, not a lot of places do that, but it seems like more and more it's becoming more prevalent. Maybe people realize dinner service is important.
It's hugely important because, you know, for your average person, I mean, let's face it, most working households have each unit is working a job, both the husband and the wife or whoever's running the house. So that means that a lot of times, you know, you don't really have time to really sit down and think about dinner till it's time to sit down and think about dinner.
For sure.
So if you don't have something available from a restaurant standpoint, you're kind of missing the market share on that.
Yeah. And also, too, a lot of people can't go have barbecue at lunch, and especially somewhere that's a busy place, they only have an hour, so it's not.
And that's correct. And one more thing, actually, to touch on, Wimberley is kind of a retirement community, and it's also a tourist community. So all up and down the Blanco River, which is just right over here, for miles and miles, all the way down towards Fisher and Canyon Lake, are resorts and really high-end resorts and Airbnb properties. So, and multi-million-dollar houses that line the river as well. So the market, as far as takeouts and caterings, oh my goodness, it's a lot.
So you're to be a busy man, huh?
Yeah, busy. And that's a good thing.
I want to talk a little bit about, because when I've interviewed like Jeff Saville and Kelly Yandell, and a lot of different people have brought you up because you're interconnected within that family, like the Texas A&M. Can you talk a little bit about those connections and the barbecue family that exists?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, it used to be, you know, as little as 15 years ago, everyone was more closely guarded and they really didn't communicate back and forth, at least not publicly.
For sure.
But back in those days, you know, the barbecue circles really in this area really consisted of what was available on Lockhart. In Austin, it really didn't explode. Okay. So I kind of credit Aaron Franklin,
yes,
with that.
For sure.
Because that's really what provided the point of the spear as far as craft barbecue in Austin, Texas is concerned. Another one worth mentioning, of course, is John Miller, which gave birth to Law Barbecue, of course, and the list goes on. I guess my point is we're all kind of interconnected. We really are, because a lot of us use the same meat suppliers. A lot of us, you know, have the same customer base. It's kind of transient. So it kind of overlaps. So we all get to kind of know one another. As far as Camp Brisket's concerned, I started going there about 2 years ago, invited. Yeah, and spoke on a couple panels. I believe it was about wood and wood selection and fire management.
Yeah, I think I saw a picture of
memory,
that.
If memory serves me correctly. So they're Dr. Sable, Griffin, and Riley, super great people.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelly Yandell, that's my buddy right there. So
she's a special really person. She really is special.
She really is. And she's a fellow North Texan as well. I think they have property up near St. Joe, Nocona, up in that area.
Okay.
So I know that area well. But yeah, I don't get out in as much as I would like to other establishments because I'm usually tied down at the restaurant. But that being said, you know, it's always good to kind of make friends and so on and so forth. With that being said, I made a lot of friends in Australia. You wouldn't believe it.
Well, they're, every Australian I've met has been a wonderful person. It just seems very welcoming. And
yeah, and you know how that came to be? How me getting down there is I was working a lot of these overnight cook shifts at Style Switch.
Okay.
And I noticed a Facebook page, a group page called Australian Barbecue Alliance, ABA.
Okay.
And so I just started posting videos and pictures of my overnight cooks, and it just exploded.
Really?
And then one day I decided, well, what the hell? I'll just put it out there. And I just put it out there and I put a post on that ABA group. And I said, hey, anybody want to, you know, work a shift with me and just be tied to hip with me throughout the whole cook shift? Just let me know. I'll be damned. I had one Australian after the other, after the other, after the other, working a whole shift with me.
Really?
And got to the point where I got to be pretty well known down there, strangely enough.
So it means so they flew people flew out to the Switch to work with you?
To Style Switch, yes, they did.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, wow is right. So pretty cool.
So that's a real, what a great experience that they had. So they spent almost 24 hours with you.
Some more than less, yeah. You know. But yeah, for sure. And it was pretty cool. Probably a very eye-opening experience for some of them. But for the most part, you know, a lot of good camaraderie. And I'll tell you what, I have to credit Lance Kirkpatrick with this, right? Because Lance would always say that barbecue is community.
Mm-hmm.
And he's absolutely correct. Because if you stop and think about it, barbecue is part of our cultural food history in respect to Central Texas. Because
for sure.
The Bavarians that settled this part of the country, You know, they brought with them that sense of community. And next door to every SPJST hall is a barbecue pit.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
And that's darn true. So barbecue is community. Someone gets married, barbecue. Someone passes away, barbecue. Quinceañera, barbecue. And the list goes on.
Yeah, and also political events and different events throughout history, yeah.
Absolutely true. You can credit Walter Jetton with that. Walter Jetton was one of the premier barbecue food caterers out of Fort Worth, Texas, and he became LBJ's official caterer. Every state dinner at the White House on the Pardonalis was catered by Walter Jetton.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, you're not going to get as much time to go visit the area, but it's what a great area, too, that you're located. Actually, if you wanted to scoot down to 2M, you could scoot down and say hello, Scott.
Hey, man, I'm in barbecue Mecca. But to that also, it also makes it a very competitive market as well.
Well, you have to keep your game up high.
Constantly. So you're always having to think about that. Thinking about your consistency and thinking about your day-to-day food quality. Thinking about, you know, what you can do to put something else up on the board that makes things more interesting and draws more customers. So it's kind of, yeah. Very competitive. And my granddad always said, and you can quote my granddad, Curtis Dumas Sr. He always said, it's a dumb dog that don't wag its own tail. So,
that's so, a great line. I love that. I'm going to use that. I'm going to quote him.
So get ready. You know, I'm very confident in not just my skills, but the skills of Kelly Evers, who you just met earlier, as well as the skills of the restaurant team that's back behind us. And watch out. Things are about to change in this area.
What's the seating capacity there?
Oh, that's a really good question. Thank you for asking. It's 78 under roof.
Okay.
An additional 78 to 80 outside.
Wow.
So we're looking at about 150 to 160 total. And we sit on 3.5 acres on River Road. We also have about 1,500 feet of Blanco River frontage.
Wow.
And yeah, it's a beautiful area. It's classic Texas hill country. The house, the actual restaurant was an old stone house, I believe, that was built in 1896.
Wow.
It's really cool. I'm really excited. This is going to be a really neat venture, to say the least.
I think this timing, even though we've been trying to connect, I think this timing is kind of perfect, because I'm so excited about what you're doing. I'm really excited for you. This is really cool.
You know what? I really appreciate that. You know, I know it's kind of chasing around and trying to find the right time, but that is that. And I wanted to tell you one more thing. Kelly Yandell mentioned something about my hats.
Uh-huh.
All of my hats are made by Texas Hatters. That's the Manny Gamage dynasty.
Okay.
Out of Lockhart, Texas. And the Gamage family has made hats for the entire cast and crew of Lonesome Dove, Stevie Ray Vaughan, ZZ Top, you name it. But with that being said, I want you to look up this guy.
Okay.
There's a guy down in Tasmania, and his name is Michael Kirkman,
okay.
A.K.A. Maka, M.A.K.A. Leatherworks. And Maka Leatherworks makes really interesting, artisanally crafted knife rolls, handcrafted out of just the best Tasmanian leather. So Michael Kirkman, A.K.A. Maka of Knife Works, he and I connected really hard and heavy at Perth over a bottle of a really nice Tasmanian scotch. So he gave me a knife roll and some scotch and some other things. So I gifted him my Texas Hatter's hat with the Lone Star Beer hat band. So you got some homework. I want you to look up Maka Knife Work.
Okay.
Maka Leatherworks, and look him up, and you'll see a crazy Tasmanian with a Texas Hatter's hat on.
Oh, I can't wait. Okay, that's awesome. That's really, really cool. And I love the bridging the gap, too, like the connecting. This is such a great thing for people to see, too, how important it is to connect with other people and other traditions.
Well, you know what? I kind of think of every Australian and every Tasmanian I've met thus far, I kind of call them displaced Texans. There's that same independent spirit,
mm-hmm.
And culturally, it's pretty much the same.
And Perth is different than Sydney and Melbourne. I think it's also, isn't it a wine region out there?
There is. There's quite a bit of good wine and grapes grown in the region, yes. But Perth also has the distinction of being the most isolated city in the world.
Wow.
due to its geographic location.
That'll do it. That'll change you, probably. Make you a specific type of person. It makes you independent.
It probably will. You know, it probably
I guess.
Will.
I don't know. I'm not sure. But Bill, I wanted to thank you so much. I think I would love to come visit you and film there too, if that's possible, maybe. And I'd even love to cook with you. I'd love to shadow
well,
you. That would be.
I'll tell you what, the doors, and I'll put this out there for everybody watching and listening. The door and the welcome mat is always open. I'm a real big believer in, you know, showing people the ropes and sharing knowledge. I think that's key because that's also part and parcel with barbecue being community. Mm-hmm. You yourself have to be the conduit of that. If I'm the pit master here, which I am, then I have to be that conduit for the community, be that other people in the industry or my customers. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big believer in paying it forward and sharing knowledge.
Well, thank you. I think that's a great way to end it, too. And Bill, have a great day and good luck tomorrow on the first day. I'm really excited for you.
And I wanted to put one more thing. Guess who my expo person was in Perth?
Who
loved this? So I got to boss him around some and tell him what to do. It was Harry Sue.
Oh, really? Oh, Harry Sue. That's awesome. That's incredible.
So I said, Harry, hurry up. Hurry up with those trays.
He's a great guy. He's always been a great. I've known him for a long time. Such a great guy.
Good deal, buddy.
Excellent. Good deal. Have a great day. Thank Kelly again. And tell him from Kevin Kelly to Kelly, thank him so much.
Yeah, what happens when two Kellys meet in the forest?
I think a tree falls.
Okay, cool.
I'll talk to you later, Bill. Thanks so much.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later.
Have a great day.